Morning Hope Astoria. Happy Palm Sunday. I want to welcome family, friends, guests that are joining us, especially those that perhaps you don't consider yourself a follower of Jesus and you're wondering, why do Christians celebrate a day called Palm Sunday? We're going to read in scripture today events that took place just several days before Good Friday, the day that Jesus was crucified, and Resurrection Sunday, the day we celebrate him rising from the dead and conquering death. Today almost would seem somewhat lackluster comparatively to the events of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. However, we would be remiss and we would really be at a loss to ourselves if we don't take the time to pause and reflect and learn from God's word the significance of this day. We're going to be reading from scripture, Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 and onward, and it recounts the story, the events of Palm Sunday. It says this, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany where he spent the night. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us from your word. Would you cause your scriptures to come alive? Glorify yourself. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus in a fresh and living way. And Father, may our love and our affection for you grow and deepen this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, my favorite basketball player of all time is Michael Jordan. Now, for those that are growing up during this era, it's an ongoing debate. Who is the greatest of all time? Some say LeBron, some say Kobe, and some people are just quite crazy because Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time. However, one story about another great basketball legend always kind of makes me laugh, and I wish I would have been there when this moment happened. The legend I'm talking about is Larry Bird. Larry Bird was a bad man. The guy could play ball. He was just one of the most prolific shooters and passers the game has ever seen. So if you're a Laker fan, you're probably feeling bitter right now because you know Larry gave the Lakers some hard times. The story goes that it was All-Star Weekend. This is a weekend when the best of the best of the NBA would go and compete for fun and just kind of give the fans a show. And they would ultimately play a game, East Coast versus West Coast, that would kind of decide who was the best, division of the league was the best for that year, bragging rights kind of thing. But there was also a three-point contest. Larry Bird was lethal from the three-point range. And the story goes, he goes into the locker room right before the three-point contest. And so nerves are high. People are about to compete. They want to win. Larry's going to compete. He's considered the favored winner before he even plays. And he's in the locker room, and he's just looking around, scanning the room, staring at all the players he's about to compete with in utter silence. People are trying to talk to him. He's silent. He's just looking around, examining and scanning the room. It gets awkward, and someone finally asks him, "What's going on, Larry? How come you're so quiet? Why are you staring at everybody?" And then he said, "I'm just trying to see who's going to come in second place." And everyone, it was like a chill, a fear that swept through the room, because this dude was that bad, that confident, that just good, that he could say that and everybody knew he could back it up. Sure enough, he backed it up and he won first place. I think of that story and related to this text. You say, what does that have to do with Palm Sunday? Here's how I see it relating. At this moment, Jesus is making a bold statement. And it's a bold statement, especially in light of what we know is to come. That just a few days from this moment, as he's triumphantly entering into Jerusalem, he's crucified. He's murdered. But at this moment, this act of Jesus riding in on a donkey was a symbolic act that was recognized at that time as the actions of someone who would declare themselves as a king. So on Palm Sunday, what Jesus does is he rides in on a donkey heading into Jerusalem. He is publicly declaring himself as a king. Now, back to Larry Bird, it's one thing to trash talk when you know you're going to win while you're in the competition, but it's another thing to say something bold before you even get on the floor and compete. And Jesus at this moment is declaring himself as king before the crucifixion. It's bold. And it's bold on many levels, because when he declares himself as king, this was an act considered as treasonous. This was punishable by death, because Rome considered this act as a violation of their power structure. This was a direct disrespect to Caesar. This was not just some kind of pageantry or some side thing that had no consequence. The disciples knew that what Jesus had just done could not be walked back. He was not going to walk away from this act without feeling the repercussions of this moment. He's riding in to Jerusalem, declaring himself as king. You know, over the years, I've studied this text, preached this text, celebrated this day as a follower of Jesus. And what I realize is that one of the things we tend to do is we tend to isolate Palm Sunday from Good Friday. And I understand why. They're two distinct moments and they have distinct significance. But I think actually we could better understand Palm Sunday in light of Good Friday. That's what I want to attempt to do, to kind of take these two days that we tend to isolate and understand separately and actually ask the question, what would Palm Sunday mean if we interpret it in light of Good Friday? So let's begin. First off, Palm Sunday and Good Friday definitely communicate very different things, because Palm Sunday, in essence, it's a powerful statement. I am king. But Good Friday, it's actually kind of a statement of weakness, because he's murdered violently, helplessly. We go from this bold, declarative power on this day, Palm Sunday, and it's followed by suffering and the lack of power on Good Friday. In many ways, on the surface, Good Friday almost seems to contradict Palm Sunday, because the question almost emerges. You could almost imagine someone saying, "You said you were a king. You rode in triumphantly, but a week later, you're murdered." And it brings up the question, the framework that Josh McDowell, a Christian apologist, once proposed. And he said that When you look at the writings and the life of Jesus, there's only three possible scenarios or categories that we could place him in. He is either a liar, he is either a lunatic, or he's the Lord. Because when you look at his life, his words, his deeds, he's either one of those three. And at this moment, when you look at riding in triumphantly, declaring yourself as king, and then just days later being crucified, you would wonder and ask, maybe this guy was a lunatic. Maybe he was out of his mind. But actually, when you combine Good Friday and Palm Sunday, what we discover is that Good Friday doesn't contradict Palm Sunday, but it explains it. And it explains it powerfully. You see, because a week from now in Jerusalem, the world would see a crucified Jesus. And from that point on, historically, the world would recognize that there was a human being named Jesus, an actual living man that was murdered by Rome. But that's just a historical perspective, kind of the textbook view of there was a man, he was crucified, he was murdered by Rome. But if you add Palm Sunday, you get a complete look, a fuller idea from God, something that he's declaring powerfully, and that is this. On Good Friday, in light of Palm Sunday, a king was crucified. This was not just a mere philosopher, a moral example, a teacher, a good person, a religious kind of cult leader. No. Palm Sunday and Good Friday combined declare a king was crucified. See, on Palm Sunday, Jesus is making this declarative statement that he is a king. And on Good Friday, when we see him murdered and bloodied and suffering on the cross, we must not forget that on that cross, a king was murdered. Why that's interesting is because even right now in our day and age, it's very tragic actually, and fascinating that at this present moment, there are kings, actual kings from different countries that are living in exile. They are living in a foreign country other than the one that they ruled in because they were ousted, because they abused their power, because perhaps they stole money. They did not rule effectively, and the citizens had an uprising, and the kings, with one last insult, many of these kings would get up and leave and take a lot of possessions that belonged rightfully to the country, and now they live lavishly in another country where they can't be extradited. That narrative is so common, and it illustrates a fundamental point that Palm Sunday and Good Friday contradict and push back. That is that kings, for as far as history has told us, they exist to serve themselves. That the subjects of kings live and die for the king. But on Palm Sunday, when Jesus declares himself as king, and days later when he is crucified as king, we witness the greatest reversal of all time, because what we come to celebrate is that a king was crucified. This is uncommon and unlike anything we see in history and even in present time. People with power tend to not sacrifice and give of themselves for those that are under their power or under their authority. But in Jesus, we see an absolute reversal. And it says something, declares something to you and I, that if powerfully received can change our life. If you and I absolutely internalize what Jesus has done and is saying through Palm Sunday, as well as Good Friday, if we internalize that and receive that, it changes everything about how we see ourselves. You know, one of my favorite shows is The Office. Now, if you've ever seen that show, you know it is so cringy. It makes your skin crawl, some of the things that the characters do. I've worked in some dysfunctional offices. workplaces. So it's absolutely cathartic for me to watch the show because I've experienced some of those maddening things. There's this one episode where the character Angela, it comes out that she was engaged to Andy. And unfortunately, privately, secretly, she was cheating on him with Dwight. Now these men find out. And rather than them break it off with Angela, they decide to fight to the death in order to win her affections. It's a silly episode. Absolutely ridiculous. There's this moment where they're about to fight in the company parking lot, and everyone is pleading with Angela, stop this. You have the power to stop this. But she absolutely doesn't, because for her, these two men fighting for her made her feel powerful, made her feel loved, made her feel greater than she actually was. The idea that people would be willing to die for you, for your affection. Palm Sunday and Good Friday declares something similar and absolutely powerful for you and I to process. Here's something I want to declare simply, but emphatically with all my heart. And if you hear this, if you receive this, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, what I'm about to say has the potential to change your life forever. And that is this: King Jesus died for you. On Palm Sunday, we celebrate the declaration of Jesus as King. And a few days from now, we will celebrate and mourn and reflect on his death on the cross. And when we look at both of those events as one continuum, something that God is saying to us, it declares that King Jesus has died for us. And I know that that may not hit home yet, but the reality is that in the midst of all of our suffering and struggle and angst, the one thing that can change everything, the one word that has the power and capacity to heal us, to lift us up, to change our perspective, to reset our souls, is that statement that King Jesus died for you. As a pastor, I've met with people that have gone through such ranges of human experiences, from the greatest moments that life can offer to some of the most bitter moments and sad, broken experiences. I've heard people say, I'm lonely, I'm depressed, I've been forsaken, I've been rejected. And everything in me at those moments just wants to say two things. I'm so sorry. But did you know, do you know that King Jesus died for you? That doesn't change that you're suffering. It doesn't negate the difficult time, but it does say something incredibly powerful that has the power to offset the negative impact of everything that's happening around us. King Jesus died for you. Sometimes people will reflect and say, I'm not where I want to be in my career. I have debts I'm struggling to pay. I've been disappointed so badly in life and relationships and all sorts of ways. To which we should, in a heartfelt manner, say, I'm so sorry. But also we can say, but did you know, do you know, that King Jesus died for you? Palm Sunday prepares our hearts to receive our crucified King by first declaring that the one who would be crucified was no mere mortal, was no mere prophet. He was a king. See, this is what's powerful for me as I reflect on this day. And that is this, that both Christian and non-Christian alike have a powerful bond. If you're watching and you're a follower of Jesus, you're committed to Jesus, you're part of our church, you know, you have an incredible bond with people that don't follow Jesus. And if you're not a follower of Jesus and you're wondering what all of this is about and you're skeptical and kind of looking from the outside in, I want you to know that you have an incredible bond with followers of Jesus. And here is the bond. Both Christian and non-Christian alike share the experience of having a king die for them. A king died for you. Not just any king, King Jesus. And why that's powerful is because when we're at our lowest, when we feel the least value in this life, we can walk around saying, though my circumstances are not great, one thing I know and one thing that changes everything, a king died for me. So how could I be unimportant? How could I have the thought of me being unvalued if a king died for me? Not just any king, the King of Kings, the King of the universe died for you and I. Why that's powerful is because in a world that tries to peg our value toward the things that we accomplish, the things we own, our status, our reputation, you and I are invited to walk around with a sense of value that far outweighs all of that. You are valuable, you are loved, you are cherished because a king died for you. One of the reasons we push ourselves to see the image of God in everyone, regardless of their social standing, if they have a criminal background, if they have money or they don't, their ethnicity, none of that matters. We see the image of God in everyone around us because everyone around us shares this powerful bond that a king died for us. And what that says about you and I, whether we're employed, unemployed, whether we consider ourselves successful or not, whether we have a big family or we're single, it does not matter. All of these things are mere just accoutrements. They're small things compared to that powerful statement and reality. A king died for us. And that changes everything. But you may be wondering, and maybe if you're a follower of Jesus, maybe you and I have forgotten and we need a reminder. Why did our king die? I want to propose that our king died when we look at Palm Sunday. The true king died to expose the false kings of self, shame, and woundedness. Jesus died, our King Jesus died to expose and disarm the false kings that seek to have rule over you and I, the kings of self, shame, and woundedness. See, in this time period, at this moment, we read that people were laying down their robes as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, riding on this donkey as the figure of a king, the symbolism of a king at this moment. And he was riding over these robes. And this moment is pregnant with such meaning and significance because as they were laying down their robes, in essence, what they were doing was laying down fabric and garments that represented their identity. See, in that time, you were known primarily by the clothing you wore. You weren't allowed to wear clothing outside of your social standing. So if you were a beggar, you had clothes that connoted that you were a beggar. If you were of high standing, a military person, or had wealth, your clothing communicated that. And so at this moment, we see that as they're laying down their robes and Jesus is riding in triumphantly over these robes, it's saying something to us that I think we desperately need to hear and receive. What it's saying is that Jesus is inviting us, similar to these people, to lay down our identity under his lordship. That whatever you and I most identify ourselves with, Jesus says, lay that down and let my lordship, my kingship, ride over it. Because regardless of how great that identifying marker says about you, the greatest identity that you and I can walk around with is saying that I am a child of the King. See, as they laid down their robes and Jesus rode over, this moment symbolized his lordship riding over and having authority over all of the things that seek to identify us and lock us in as people and say, this is who we are. And I think that's a really powerful thing for us to process in our day and age because we live in a time and in a culture where often we tell God who we are and try to make him conform to us. But what if you and I, rather than telling God who we are, rather than holding tightly to the things that we say, this is where I find my identity, what if you and I were to allow the King to have lordship over our identity? Why this is powerful is because what Jesus seeks to do as we follow him, he seeks to redeem us from false identities. As he's riding over these robes and communicating, I am Lord over these identities. This is not who you are. This is not who you have to be. You can be associated with my kingship. You can be one of my servants, and you can walk around identifying yourself as a child, a servant of the King. You don't have to walk around identifying yourself just with your station in life or just saying, I'm a person of these economic means or of just this ethnicity, or I just live in this neighborhood, or I just have this degree, or I don't have this degree. You don't have to walk around identifying with your past, with your addictions, with your struggles. You and I are invited by Jesus to be able to identify with his kingship, his lordship. Like the men and women of that day, Jesus invites us to lay down our identities and to say, I don't want to determine who I am on my own. I don't want society to say who I am. I want your lordship to declare who I am. And today on Palm Sunday, Jesus is declaring over us that his lordship says, we are free. We are forgiven. We are washed. If you're watching today rattled with guilt and shame through your choices and things that have been done to you, Jesus says on this Palm Sunday, I am King, and my lordship over your life can free you from those addictions, from the things that seek to bind you to an identity that is not you. I didn't create you to be bound by your mistakes, that you would only see your life through the prism of your errors and your choices that you regret. But there's a greater identity that's available to us, the identity of being children of the King. And Palm Sunday invites us to recognize that. See why Palm Sunday is such a significant moment in the life of a follower of Jesus, because it orients us in our relationship to Jesus. It's important for you and I to be very clear that Jesus is not our heavenly best friend. He is not our co-signer of life and just blessing our decisions unbridled, no checks and balances. No, he is a King, and we seek to serve him. And in serving him, there's an invitation for us to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves and follow our King. And we willfully and joyfully do that because we know in the following of this King is not bondage, but rather there is freedom from the binding false identities and false kings that seek to keep us down. On this Palm Sunday, Jesus invites you to be liberated from the things that seek to shackle you, the false kings of this life. And he invites you and I to say, you are my King. Here is my identity. I submit it to you. I don't want to choose who I am. I want you to declare who I am. And may that free me from every false narrative, lie, trauma, shame that seeks to peg me to an identity that is not the identity you declare over me. With that, I want to invite us to pray as we close. If I can invite you, would you close your eyes right where you're at? If you feel comfortable, could you just raise your hands and lift your heart to God at this time as we pray? Lord Jesus, we ask that on this Palm Sunday, we would pause and recognize that you are not some mere philosopher or moral teacher, but that you are King. And we recognize the significance of this day in light of Good Friday, and that a king was crucified. and not just any king, but you, the true king. May we bring our identities, the false kings that seek to grip us and bind us, and may we allow your lordship to liberate us, to declare authority over those things. We are not our addictions. We are not our possessions. We are not what we've done or what people have done to us. We are who you say we are. And may we receive that today. In Jesus' name, amen.